Coming up on this week's episode of the Star Wars Report, George Lucas likes Star Wars! At least a Star Wars comic book. We're going to talk about that, as well as new Rogue One rumors and ABC doing a Star Wars TV show. Let's talk about it. Oh, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. It is the Star Wars Report Podcast, episode 234. I'm Riley Blanton, your host. So glad you've joined us. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing. It's time for some Star Wars awesomeness with the Star Wars Report Podcast, the most fun hour of Star Wars podcasting on ye old internet. Started 1974. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Star Wars Report. I'm very excited for today's episode. Mark Hurlman's not able to join us. He's off scouting. No, not like Tonto. No, like as in with the Boy Scouts. He is away from internet access this week. But never fear. We've got the producer of this fine program and a good friend of mine. And yours is Mr. Bruce Gibson. How's it going, Bruce?
It's going great. I'm feeling really good today. I'm really ready to talk Star Wars today, and I'm glad I'm not out camping because I'm a wimp when it comes to really hot weather.
Fair enough. Well, excellent. I'm glad to have you on board for this week's podcast. We've got so much to talk about, dude. So much going on in the world of Star Wars, as there really is always. I was just catching a brief moment of a buddy of ours, Joey Tavano from Brews and Blasters. And RetroZap. I was catching their most recent episode, and he was just kind of commenting on how, like, they're saying, man, it's kind of a light news week. And we're referring to this week where there's not a ton of big stuff, but then I realized, but still at the same time, like, there's rumors of a Star Wars TV show and Rogue One cameos and more. And it's funny because, like, this is now our version of a slow news week. I remember doing this podcast when, like, a slow news week meant that we had to talk about the latest Lego sets that are announced or something like that, like Toy Fair,
right?
Or
just like a character added to the Lego line. We have a new character in Legos.
Oh, I remember talking about, like, when book covers were revealed, and we would do full episode analysis of the book cover.
Well, it's gotten to a point now because I was thinking, oh, this does seem like a slow news week. But then I started digging all these news stories out. And there's nothing that, like you said, that's huge. But then I had to edit it down. I mean, there was things I was coming up with. I'm like, okay, we can't cover all this. I mean, some of it is minor things like you were mentioning about. But we can now put those aside and actually talk about real news.
Absolutely. And we're going to do that right now, and to talk about the real Star Wars news of the universe, and some we're bringing him on for some fun discussion we're gonna have on Ray Patine. Oh, wait, that doesn't work at all. I just realized that's a really, really bad combination. Palpa-Ray, maybe that works better.
But Palpa-Ray sounds like something like an Italian dish.
That sounds kind of bad too. Is there any good way? Daniel, save me. Is there any good way to actually?
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know her last name, right?
No, we don't. So
we can't even mix that in there.
And Sky Patine sounds really funny. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, coming on the program, he's a patron supporter. In fact, one of our Bothan generals, in that he's pledged a really generous amount. And we're so happy to have him on the show as a result of his generosity. And so, you know, this is the part of the show where I plug patreon.com/StarWarsReport, where you yourself can get access to bonus content, including our exclusive RSS feed, T-shirts, and much more. But I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to say today's episode is brought to you by Daniel Miller, who's joining us and co-hosting the whole show for us this week. Dan, how's it going, man?
Solo. I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon.
I mean, my name's Daniel Miller. How are you guys? You know, it's my pleasure because you guys put on a great show every time. I've been listening to you since I started listening to Star Wars podcasts, and you guys have actually given me the fuel to start my own myself.
Excellent.
And it's just been a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I mean, I love Star Wars. Who doesn't?
Dude, I'm so happy to have you on, dude. And get the plugs out of the way early, because let folks know, because you have joined the podcasting universe.
Yes, I have a podcast. It's called The Aluminum Falcon. What the heck's an aluminum falcon? But yeah, it's on iTunes. You can look us up. just type in the Aluminum Falcon. There we are. And you can find me. I am at Stay on Target 42. That's my Twitter handle. So yeah,
excellent.
Me out there in the world.
Absolutely, man. We'll have links to all that in this week's show notes for episode 234. But enough dilly-dallying around, guys. We got some stuff to talk about, and that is Riley's horribly awkward introduction. I'm leaving it all in, too, guys. I can't believe there are times when you're like, there's a reason I always go to the format of live to hard drive, but there are times I regret the decision. But I'm leaving everything in. The Ray Palpatine, Ray being old Papa Palp's daughter. That's the latest fan theory, and we're gonna get in the news in a little bit. But we haven't really done this theory justice. I want to talk about this, but what I don't understand is I've read the piece. I have not seen the long form YouTube video, but I have read the piece, and I understand what the theory is, and I have no idea why it's gained any ground whatsoever. Daniel, explain to me what on earth this theory is and why we should pay any attention to it.
All right. Now, I completely agree with you, Riley, because I have watched the YouTube video and they're not basing her lineage to him off of any other character, any other mate that Palpatine possibly could have had. In the video, he doesn't give you any one iota of information on maybe Palpatine was locking lips with this girl or this person, you know. We do know with Plagueis there was the dabbling in the midichlorians and manipulating the Force, but that novel was not canon, but Plagueis is. But anyway, all I'm saying is they tried to take the way that she was using her lightsaber and the way she would stab at Kylo at that end fight. And also, it was said in her, she had pleasure when she was able to dip into Kylo's mind when he was trying to pull out information about the map. And she turned around and, you know, and mind whammed him. And they said that in the video that she took pleasure in that, Palpatine takes pleasure in stuff like that, you know, in the dark side. So they were really trying to match her up with Palpatine just by, I guess, her mannerisms, I guess you would say, the way that she carries herself. But the only thing I have to say about the whole lightsaber jabbing is, what's her main weapon that we've seen her with? A staff, right?
Yeah.
And when you use a staff, it's a lot of, you know, thrusting and parrying. And that's exactly how she was fighting when she, you know, she did get a little emotional at the end there, but I feel like she was using that lightsaber as if she were using her staff, you know?
Yeah, well, and she had just seen, her new friend who had just offered her her path forward without, you know, to leave the Dust Bowl and get a job. He would offer you a job.
Yeah.
And she just seen him killed, stabbed through the heart moments ago.
Yeah, she's not trained not to use her emotions.
And by the very person who's attempting to kill her, I would have been a little emotional too. And by a little emotional, if I saw Kylo Ren, I don't care if he's wounded or not, I would have been like, "Yo!" That would have been the sound I made as I fled the forest. I'd be like diving under I would just be diving under the snow and trying to cover myself up and hoping nobody noticed.
Now that's a movie I'd like to see right there. Yeah.
not unlike,
but you know, those moves that she was making, I thought about Palpatine when she was doing it, but my impression was that since she doesn't have a lot of memories prior to being dropped off at Jakku, I wondered if she had been trained at a young age on the dark side, that somehow someone got hold of her and was training her in the ways of the dark side, and that was just subconsciously in the back of her mind. That was just one idea I had playing in my mind, not that she was related to Palpatine.
Well, and didn't Luke Skywalker have a similar stabbing motion in the final duel in Return of the Jedi? Or am I totally making that up in my mind? I have a memory of, right after the, if you will not turn, perhaps she will. And then right after that moment.
Exactly. I agree with you, because when he did attack her, he went crazy after he was he went nuts. And then he started jabbing, and then he started hacking from above, and she did the same thing when she was attacking Kylo. That good pull,
so
Riley.
By the very same argument, now we're going to make the argument that she's a Skywalker, right? Now that we can start that all over again.
Or my theory, she's a solo, but whatever.
Yeah, indeed.
So why do you think she's a solo?
Okay, there's a couple parts. Just first of all, she knows and understands Chewbacca. Now, Red 5 mom, of a friend of the show and everything, a friend of mine also, said that she read the Rey's journal. I did not. And that Rey was able to read into all of the data banks of the Imperial Star Destroyers that were on Jakku. So she was able to learn all of these languages and also fighting styles from all of these data banks that she was salvaging.
Yes.
So, but
that is true.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like the Wookiee language, though, the Empire treated the Wookiees as if they were like mindless beasts. Like they weren't, you know, worthy.
Well,
and I still don't feel as if that language could be learned through data banks. I think that's like a language that you would have to be around, you know? And I feel like she was around Chewbacca. Sorry, Ryan.
As a brief tidbit, look at me. I'm going to drop a reference to Aftermath Life Debt, which mentions that the Empire still occupied Kashyyyk for years after.
Right.
For years after the events of Return of the Jedi. I did not read the book, but that is something that I was reading online. And so I think it'd be interesting. I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see. I think that argument could be made. Here's the problem I have with all the Rey theories. The movie clearly establishes a mystery of where she comes from. And she's waiting for her family, which is the way you have to always say that, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. So I think that there's the mystery established there, but every single one of the potential explanation requires such contortions of storytelling to make sense that none of them really do. So I'm of two minds when it comes to all the Rey theories. One, I think it would be really cool if she's linked to the greater mythology of Star Wars if it's done well. But on the other hand, I do sympathize with the people who are like, well, why does she have to be related to anybody? And so, if nothing else, like, that's probably been the one most talked about part of the film, right? It's just, who are Rey's family? Where does she come from? Why was she dropped off? And that's not really an aspect. I don't know. Maybe, Bruce, as a member of the original Star Wars generation, I want to get your take on this.
Okay, young man.
and that is, was there a similar, like, as kids, were you guys, like, wondering, well, where did Luke Skywalker come from? Who's his father? Was he really, you know, just like a freighter captain, you know, or like whatever Obi-Wan said? Was that like a big talking point of mystery?
I don't think it really was. I mean, it may be something that would have been brought up on the playground and while you're out playing Star Wars or just talking with friends. But you got to think, you know, you didn't have the online community that really escalated these conversations and kept them going. It was just more of a, yeah, I don't know. I wonder what happened to Luke's parents. Yeah, well, maybe they died. You know, we would just throw out little things like that and that would be it. But there wasn't these fan theories going on because there was no way to really share them online.
Yeah, no, it's, and I think that's a big part of it. And I was just thinking about this the other day. Like, can you imagine, like, the Empire Strikes Back coming out in 2016 with the current social media landscape?
Wow.
All of the fan theories about Luke Skywalker would actually be Lobot's son with a lot of the fan theories, and there would be thorough evidence of it, too.
Well, that's the problem. They overcomplicate some of these theories, and you can't do that in these movies. Because if Rey was, let's say, Palpatine's granddaughter, they're not going to take the time to explain. Well, see, okay, Palpatine married this woman or had an affair with her, and then she had a daughter that married a guy that led to you, Rey. I mean, can't make it over. It's got to be something simple.
Well, see, mine is simple, and that's all I wanted. I just want to get this all mentioned real quick.
Oh, go for it.
So, all right, now, if Rey was Han Solo's daughter, possibly Leia's as well. I mean, I'm saying it's Kylo's younger sister. Now, we have seen that there can be mind wipes and stuff like that. Well, anyway, Han looked at her very sad and had this very sad look on his face when she said, I've never seen so much green in the galaxy. And it seemed to me that he was trying very hard to distance himself from her, as if he was trying not to acknowledge who she was. Now, who was hidden when they were born in order not to be used against them in the, you know, in the upcoming battles, Luke and Leia, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they see that Kylo goes to the dark, And now you've got Rey that needs to be hidden so she can't be used against them.
I could see that. Although, but to be fair, he did offer her a job. Maybe it was time, though. Maybe it's like...
But that's what I'm thinking. She's older now, and he sees that, you know, she's off to Koo. Why is the Falcon on the same planet that Rey is? Yeah, so-and-so stole it. So-and-so stole it from so-and-so.
Who stole it from so-and-so?
And that's the story, you know. But...
Yeah, I started to believe that, too, for a while. But the thing that got me was how Han says to Leia, "I've seen our son." And I would think he'd also say, "Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And our daughter, too."
Right. I thought of those things as well. I just, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Then again, if Rey is Luke's daughter and he knows that, you would also think he would say something to Leia about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
I just don't think, whatever the answer is, I don't think it's going to be a Quentin Tarantino style flashback where we suddenly go, "Aha!
Right.
The clues were there all along.
It was right in front of your face."
I just don't think that's going to be it. I still personally, I like the idea of them somehow making it a granddaughter of Obi-Wan and a great granddaughter of Obi-Wan and a granddaughter of Luke. I think that'd be cool. I think that would be super cool. So many theories to talk about, and there's more stuff. Let us know what you think. StarWarsReport@gmail.com. What are your favorite Rey theories? Because good Lord, we've got another year and a half of this, gentlemen.
Jyn Erso and Luke are almost similar in age.
That was Riley's Lego noises. Okay, guys, I think it's it's about that time. Let's get a little bit into...
"We have something to report.
Sir, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get into the news. Starting off with ABC. There are rumors. They want a Star Wars TV series. In other news, the sky is also blue. Water is wet. And Rey's a Solo. No. So this is the latest from ABC. Actually, there's a piece in EW that talks about how ABC is looking ahead to its content. There was the entertainment president over at ABC who is... Entertainment Weekly.
Does he really live up there?
All right. Hooray for autoplay ads. Sorry, the entertainment president over at ABC, his name's Channing Dungey. He was asked at the Television Critics Association semi-annual press tour in Beverly Hills. What an awkward name, a semi-annual press tour. By that they mean like, we got something to promote, let's do a tour.
And let's go all the way to Beverly Hills to do it.
So she wants a primetime series based on the franchise that's owned, of course, by Disney. Not only is she interested in it, but she revealed that there are ongoing talks to make it a reality. Again, guys, like, this is not news. Like, there's always this pile-on automatic reaction amongst fan sites of like, "Yeah, well, duh." Which, yes, yeah, well, duh, but this is actually, it's the source. It's the fact that it's the actual entertainment president over at ABC who's actually talking about this, not just kind of behind-the-scenes rumors. In response to about this possible television series, he says, "Oh, as a fan, I would absolutely love to say yes. The conversations with Lucas, we had conversations with them and will continue to have conversations with them. I think it would be wonderful if we could find a way to extend that brand into our programming." By the way, the talk of an entertainment executive, extend that brand into our programming. That's the way it sounds. She was asked about it being a live action series, because that would make the most sense in terms of ABC, unlike, you know, Disney Channel, which, you know, animated makes sense. That's the word. I think, when she says we're talking to Lucas, I wonder if she means Lucasfilm, because the quote is literally just, you know,
I think it's short for Lucasfilm. When she says Lucas,
she's not saying, go for it.
Yeah, you know, you can do it if you want.
Yeah, I don't care.
Doing George impressions.
I was just making movies for my friends.
I was buying the Han Solo comic. all right. That's a little tease for later.
Han Solo comic.
And after the panel, she confirmed again that they are doing ongoing talks. She said, quote, "It's all a bit hush-hush. The company exists under a big shroud of secrecy. If you feel Marvel secretive, Lucasfilm takes it to a whole nother level. Talks are ongoing. We don't have an official timeline yet." So, I'm sure they have stuff.
In other words, there's nothing.
Yeah. Well, in other words, there's probably a lot of people pitching movies, I'm sure. In fact...
Yeah. But the good news is that Lucasfilm and ABC have been in talks. So, I mean, that's at least encouraging that maybe one day we will see a series. It's not like they're saying, oh, we haven't looked at it yet. We haven't been talking. They're actually in talks about it. So there may be coming something out of this in the near future.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And I could pay, man. I wanted to see a dark live action Star Wars series produced by Rick McCallum, written by Ron Moore from Battlestar Galactica. I'm so sad that never, and probably never will see the light of day. And it's,
would you want to see that on Netflix, or do you think they could put that on ABC?
I don't think ABC would want it. It would be too, just knowing George's style, I don't know. It'd be tough. I just don't think that ABC wants that kind of show. They want a Star Wars show, but they don't want a dark Star Wars underworld show.
See, it was funny because I was reading some Facebook stuff when I saw this news drop, and I just wanted to see what the old internet had to say about it. Everybody was upset, and they're saying, you know, ABC ruins everything. And I was like, well, you know who owns ABC, right? Disney. And Disney owns Lucas. And it wouldn't be ABC necessarily making the show. It would be Lucasfilm making the show, just like they make everything that's Star Wars, and then ABC would just be airing it, correct? Don't you think that would be the way it would be done?
Yes, it would be a Lucasfilm production. Like,
yeah, so I don't see why everybody would be in. There was a bit, it seemed like there was a bit of a panic among some of the fandom. So I think it would be great on ABC. It's Star Wars has never been something that's been violent and, you know, crazy that you couldn't put it on a network like ABC, except for maybe that part where, you know, Dooku gets it. That's all. I would say that maybe you wouldn't be able to put that on there, but I think they would do a, you know, it would be a good show to put on.
Kill him now. yeah, I was. They aired the Making of Star Wars special recently, right? They've had dabblings with Lucasfilm between like debuting trailers and stuff and airing that the Star Wars documentary when they aired it. They aired the Making of Star Wars as a special. And I know, I'm trying to think of what else they've done. They did, of course, the special Star Wars Rebels premiere. So there is an established relationship there. So this makes perfect sense. However, Star Wars...
Didn't they also do the holiday special?
Actually, did they? Was
no, that was CBS, actually. I'm
okay,
sorry.
I was going to say... can you imagine? Oh, I would be so happy if they announced a holiday, an actual, real, legit, like we're like on the nose, serious, not parody Star Wars holiday special from ABC.
Wasn't it ABC's Monday Night Football that dropped the Force Awakens trailer last year?
I think so. I know it was Monday Night Football. I believe it was ABC. But the thing about Star Wars is there are only really two brands that it is remotely similar to as far as programming they have on right now, and that's of course Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Once Upon a Time. Those are kind of the two fantasy-ish superhero type, because everything else they do is of course like Modern Family and
Supergirl.
Scandal and like super mainstream stuff. But Supergirl, CBS, right?
No, yes, and it moved to CW.
Oh,
it's not even CBS anymore. Now it's CW.
Well, and ABC also has a fantasy show called ABC World News Tonight.
Oh.
Just kidding. I have respect for ABC News.
George,
me too.
George Lucas gave a big thumbs up to the Marvel's Han Solo comic, by the way, gentlemen.
I love this.
This is great. This is so great. So the artist behind the Han Solo comic is Mark Brooks. And he posted on Facebook this on Tuesday, got an email last night from Lucasfilm saying that George Lucas would like to purchase every original page from Han Solo number one. Surreal is an understatement. So I just have one question on this news story. Other than it's just a little, it's a fun, positive check-in from any time that there's a George Lucas enters the news cycle and it's not a negative news story about him and Star Wars. I just feel compelled to read it and feel happy. So let me jump to you, Daniel. So does this mean that, is this like the, is he like texting the girlfriend he got divorced from, to use his own words, talking about Star Wars?
Well, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you right now, I can see why he loves it so much. This is definitely the character that he wanted and that he worked so hard to build. And they did a great job writing him. And also the art is amazing in this comic book. I love it so much because we are getting Han Solo. I'm just going to say spoiler warning. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's just, you know, he's trying to take some jobs. It was right after the first Death Star blew up. He's trying to take some jobs, but he's being super cautious. Chewie thinks he's spooked.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden he gets pulled away by some people. He talks to the princess. They have a bit of a, you know, she sends him on a mission to do this race. And it's total Han Solo all the way. You gotta pick it up and read it. Because I'll tell you right now, I love the fact that George is so into it, because it makes me feel like he wasn't so hurt with the big sale. And, well, they're not using my ideas. When it came to The Force Awakens, you know, everybody thought he was really upset with how they weren't using everything that he wanted when it came to the movie. And I was thinking maybe he was really upset with everything. And to hear that he bought the first two full original issue prints. That's great.
It's a fun little feel good story. I was happy to see George kind of connected with Star Wars in some way. And I think this should, if he wants to buy the original art, that means he's reading the comic. And that's just me imagining George Lucas sitting back and being like, ah, this is pretty good. it's got to be great. I don't know. I'm very excited about it. Very, very excited. But let's jump. I got one more story I want to touch base on. And in fact, Bruce, you take us introduce this clip for me, if you would.
Well, the Teen Choice Awards were on recently, and
I was watching. Watching every minute, sir.
You were watching it because you are a teen, aren't you?
You have no idea. I was just like, the teen. Like, I was watching it, man. Just
what I'm learning from this, you don't have to be a teen to win, because our nominations from Star Wars were John Boyega and Daisy Ridley. Oh. And one of them won. Do you know which one?
I'm guessing it was Daisy Ridley, because
that is correct, sir.
All right, let's take a listen right here.
Oh, my God, this is so scary. Oh, there's so many people. Thank you so much, Teen Choice. Thank you to everyone that voted. It feels incredible to be in this category. With amazing people, especially my boy John. And after the incredible people we just saw on stage, it feels especially important to be part of a film that represents diversity in such a positive way. So thank you, JJ and Larry and Michael, for creating this character, and Disney and everyone for letting me be Rey. Thanks.
Aww. And everyone, thank you for letting me be Rey. Thanks.
She did ask for permission, and we let her do it. And she made a call out to John Boyega, which I thought was really nice.
Yes, no, that was super cool. Yeah, and that's is this the last of The Force Awakens when it comes to the any award season? I think so. It's got to be,
probably. Yeah, this category that she won was Choice Movie Breakout Star. So she broke out.
Into my heart.
Boom, 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 Daisy boom. And Riley sitting in a tree.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Never gonna happen. And I
Hey, never say never. You never know.
Yeah, no. Never gonna give you up. Never. All right, no. All right, guys, let's take a brief moment. I want to thank everybody who supports the show here. And they do so over at Patreon. Patreon.com/StarWarsReport is where you can go to get all kinds of really cool bonus content and support everything we're doing here week to week on the podcast. Gentlemen, just an update. Like, from last, I haven't recorded, haven't uploaded it yet. We'll be doing very soon. From last week, a conversation I had with Mr. Scott Rifen, talking about the whole press process at a Star Wars celebration and what that's like. And we basically dish dirt on the whole process in a way that it's this weird, fantastical universe of of various news sites covering the event in such radically different ways. The best part of the story is basically me describing how UK newspapers and tabloids cover a Star Wars convention, because it's great. So that's going into the patron-only RSS feed, which we have set up for everybody who pledges over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And we just crossed this last month, we crossed a milestone. We've actually hit our latest milestone, which means that we're doing bonus episodes each month. I've got the July one already recorded. It's going to be going up soon. It's a little behind, but it is going up into the feed. And by the feed, I mean to everybody. Like, that's, you guys made it possible. We're doing a fifth show every month. It's going to be an in-depth interview or a specific long-form topic of myself. And I'm super excited to be recording this. I literally did a 25-minute monologue on why Princess Leia is awesome, and it's going out into the main Star Wars Report feed for everybody, not just the patrons. And it's thanks to everybody who's pledging over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Thank you guys so much for keeping this show going. And we've got some big plans for coverage of upcoming conventions, and of course, wall-to-wall coverage of Rogue One leading into it with Star Wars Tonight. And we're only able to do that to the extent you guys are able to support us. We really do appreciate it. Again, that's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. That's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. All right. Let's see. Where were we? I want to definitely... well, let's do a little bit of Boba's Bounty. Sound good, guys? Let's do it. Here we go.
He's worth a lot to me.
As you wish. All right, guys. Bruce, why don't you kick us off this week?
Well, I'm holding in my hands right now a Black Series Ahsoka Tana figure. So that's what I've got this week. She's not out of the box yet, which is really funny because I usually take things out of the boxes. Good. I'm not one to keep them in the boxes. But this past year, I've been afraid to take things out of the box. I don't know why.
What? Oh, do it. Listen to Mark Hamill's advice.
I'm going to. It's just maybe I just need the right time, the intimate setting of just me and Ahsoka.
Light some candles.
Yes, a fire in the fireplace.
Slow jazz.
Bruce, is this Rebels Ahsoka or is this Clone Wars?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. It's Rebels Ahsoka, and I actually am opening her.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
I'm opening her right now, and I want to give a shout out to Michael Morris, who found this for me.
Nice.
From Cloud City Casino. He got this for me, and I paid him back.
Wonderful.
And you look, how do you get around out of this thing?
that's the Star Wars community, isn't it? Everybody helping each other out.
Everybody helping each other. You know what the Star Wars community collecting community is? It's everyone trying to just support each other as Hasbro utterly fails in distribution. And it's just like, I'll tell you what, you know what Hasbro's done? We need to thank them for creating the biggest support system ever amongst the collecting community.
Yeah, they've joined hands more than they thought they would. It's like, please, do you have that Captain Phasma? I need it.
What's the
verdict? Yeah, wow, she's great. Yeah, I'm holding her now, so I got her out of the package. Yeah, it's the Rebels Ahsoka.
Ah, nice. Nice.
Now she has her two silver sabers.
Ah, I see that you must have one, or you've been looking at them, but you're correct.
Nice.
I
kind of want one now.
I haven't seen one. I'm just curious because I want to get one now.
Nice.
Oh, well, then it's good news. There's two. I'm taking those out right now. And yes, they are white.
That nice. So cool. I have the the two pack. The Hasbro multi pack of Darth Vader and Ahsoka. And I never buy action figures, but like this one set, I just had to get because the Vader is done in this cool, almost Macquarie esque style, and I just love Ahsoka's character design in Star Wars Rebels. So this is like one of the five action figures I have, and I bought it. It was great. In fact, actually, that's not even my pick. But sorry, go ahead. Let me ship it off to you, Mr. Daniel.
Well, you know, I feel like I'm kind of biting off of Bruce's here, but the funny thing is I was preparing for Force Friday coming up in about a month and a half, and I'm planning on going out and doing, you know, some interviews with some people and trying to get the feel for how excited people are going to be for Rogue One coming out. So I decided, you know what? I was at the last Force Friday and I bought myself a Kylo and Rey Black Series action figure. And I really wanted to open them up. So I did. And I've never actually, you know, had a 6-inch Black Series figure. So I wanted to see exactly how detailed these things really are. And I'm amazed. I love it. My Kylo is actually sitting right now on his Vader throne. I have a cool little... have you ever seen the Vader lights that have... they're see-through and then they change colors and everything?
No. Nice.
Oh, yeah. It's really cool. I've seen them floating around the internet. My brother got it for me for Christmas. And I have Kylo kind of sitting there with his lightsaber. Maybe I'll post it onto my Instagram or something sometime soon. But these characters are very detailed. I really love them. And, you know, besides their distribution troubles, their quality of work is really good. So
nice. That's awesome. This week I have for me and on Boba's Bounty, I'm doing another experience. And now that I'm back at the old lifeguarding gig, trying to recoup all the money I spent traveling. Exactly. What's funny is every time you do that, I think of Terminator.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
But I will say, so I have a Star Wars experience that I had. And so that is sometimes on the long shifts, it gets really long. So you have to do these little mental exercises to make the time pass and not feel like it's literally taking, you know, 7 hours for 1 hour to go by as you're standing on the stand, making sure that nobody drowns. One activity is my go-to is naming characters in Star Wars, thinking of how many names. And so I've done variations of the game, and I've actually talked about this before, where I got up to 100 Star Wars characters that I would just literally name, and I couldn't name the same one twice in a row. And I'm like, that's pretty good, 100 Star Wars characters. But then again, you've got to remember, I do a Star Wars podcast every week. And I'm a big films guy, so I challenged myself this time because before, you know, I was talking about, you know, The Force Awakens and the expanded universe and all the video games. I limited myself to only being able to mentally go through and pick out characters from the 6 saga films and see if I could come up with 100 characters. And thank God for Bounty Hunters and Pod Racers, of which I can name an irrational amount. That I got out of the way up to 100. And you know what? It's a fun mental exercise, but I'm going to right here on air tell you that occasionally your brain just goes dead with certain characters. And for me, it's Zam Wessel. And I like every time, I'm like, why can't I think of Zam Wessel's name? It drives me up a wall as I'm literally thinking of everything. But I'm like, if I can name Dexter Jetster, why can't I name Zam Wessel? But then, what I can't think of, and it drives me nuts, and even right now, guys, this is how predictable your brain is, I can't think of his name, but it's Jabba the Hutt's Major Domo in Return of the Jedi. Help me out.
Hmm? Oh.
The Twi'lek.
Oh.
Ray Twi'lek. Help me.
Oh,
All right. Jabba no Hunger.
Yeah, thank you, exactly.
I can't think of his name, though.
Am I not the only one? All right, Bruce. Bruce, go for it.
Oh my gosh! See, this is what happens when you put me on the spot. My brain jams up.
Nobody away from the Google. Away from. I feel like we all need to. This is like a group therapy session. Why can't I not think of his name? I feel like it's Sly something, but like.
And his name. His name is actually told in Life Debt as well. Like they tell you his name in the book.
Oh, and people are screaming so loud right now.
Well, I would be too if I was listening to this. Bib Fortuna.
Thank you.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun. All right. I feel. But this is, by the way, this is what I literally do for like 15 minutes, racking my brain. And I'm like, I'm thinking of Jabba the Hutt's. I even think of his title, Major Domo. And then I think De Jabba No Anga. I can think of quotes. I can think of the scenes he's in. And I can't think of the character. So it's just a fun little mental exercise that I go through where I realize just how many pod racers I know. We've got. Gazgano, of course, the announcers, Foden Bede. You've got Ben Quadraneros, not to forget, Rats Tyrell. and that's just because I played the video game so many times as a kid. So that it's the Phantom Menace saved me because of Pod Racers and Empire, because I can name pretty much all the bounty hunters on the bridge. So that's fun. There you go. That's Riley's.
I like that. I like that because, you know, there's times where you go to bed and you just can't fall asleep. If I had to go through 100 characters in my mind, it would probably fall asleep. It's like counting sheep.
Exactly. It's like our version of counting sleep. Exactly. Awesome. Well, there we go. That's Riley's Riley's support, absolute suffering that he puts himself through, but it does pass the time a lot faster. I will say this: by the time I gave up and then pursued all the way through the rest of Return of the Jedi and thought of Yarna and I'm blanking on the names of the dancers. Yarna, see, this is exactly what it goes
to. Slice noodles and all that.
Slice noodles. Not. Yeah. Oh well. I can't think of them. But anyway,
just hope nobody drowns when you're doing this.
No. In fact, it prevents you from actually just like going blank, which is actually nice because your brain is engaged, so it's easier just not to zone out while you're sitting in the sun.
I'm just picturing and said, help me. And you're like, not now, kid. I'm trying to think. Oh, what was Jabba's assistant?
It was the Dejaba Nwanga. Hey, kid, Dejaba Nwanga. Who said it? No, that's Akbar. Dejaba Nwanga.
It's a trap.
All right, we got an email here. It's from Meredith, a longtime listener of the show here. And she shot in an email with some interesting theories. She says, this is in reference to Mark's comment about the Star Wars Little Golden Books. Please tell him that those Little Golden Books are fantastic. The books tell the stories of each film accurately, distilling the stories while hitting all the high points and maintaining their essence, while still managing to keep them little kid friendly. And that's true. I have not read them, but Mark was going crazy over the Star Wars Golden books, like the I Am a Princess, I Am a Sith, I Am a Droid. I wonder how they made I Am a Sith kid friendly. I would be interested in picking up. The Star Wars Rebels Season 3 trailer. This is where we get the meat of the thing. And I actually haven't done any research on this, but I wanted to get y'all's take just cold without any pollution of any other theories. I admit that I've not done exhaustive research on the internet, but I've seen no online discussion of this, and it's this symbol that appears in the Season 3 trailer when the Rebels are talking to somebody. It's an instantly recognizable symbol. I can't believe there's not been discussion about this fact, and it looks darn near exactly to the markings on this young forehead. It's got to be a huge clue, right? And she included two pictures. One is, of course, this hollow projected image around a sort of battle planning. It's what we see... Commander Cody in front of in Revenge of the Sith, one of these sort of battle plan tables, holographic tables, and the Geonosians are using in Attack of the Clones to kind of watch their watch their hordes of armies being destroyed. I always loved that shot too, by the way. It was so cool to see like the mini holographic table showing all of the separatist troops getting destroyed in the Battle of Geonosis. But I digress. What's showing on this holo projected image exactly 34 seconds into the Rebels Season 3 trailer is exactly the image that you see tattooed, painted on Ahsoka's forehead.
I would say they're tattoos.
You think, I never actually...
She sweats a lot. I mean, she's performing all sorts of crazy Jedi feats, so I mean, I definitely feel as if that is tattoos.
I would agree with you, but then they later change when she gets older. So can they remove
really?
Tattoos? Yeah, because I'm looking at my Ahsoka figure from Rebels. And they're different on her forehead. It's more wings or something on her forehead now. So maybe they can remove, because you're right. I mean, if it was just paint or something, it would, after sweating or whatever, it would come off, but I don't know. Maybe they can remove tattoos in the Star Wars universe.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm looking. I just Google image searched Shaak Ti, and I forgot. Hey guys, remember the Shaak Ti from The Force Unleashed? Anyway.
Well, how much do we know about the Togruta? How do you say her species name?
Yeah, Togruta.
Togruta. How much do we know about? Maybe they can change. Maybe that's just like a part of the pigment of their skin. Maybe that's something they can change willingly.
Now, that would be interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure. That'd be an interesting... Email us, starsreport@gmail.com, if you know the answer, because I honestly never thought about it till just now.
Pure speculation.
But that pattern... So to the matter at hand, there's two options here, and I clearly side on one of them, but it's either a clue of Ahsoka's inevitable return to the series, or it's Dave Filoni trolling us. Take a guess at which one I think it is.
You must go with Occam's razor on this one, Riley.
Yeah, what do you think, Daniel?
Well, see, now, if they're this is something that they're all looking at, it's obviously a symbol, a sign that they found. I have a feeling that it links to her species. I think the Togruta might hold a secret to something they're looking for.
Okay, that would be an interesting angle. Bruce?
I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. But I think it's maybe that they haven't heard from her, and of course they don't know if she's alive or dead, and she's sending them an encrypted message, and only they may recognize that symbol and know it's coming from her. And it is a sign that she is alive.
I hope, but
hashtag Ahsoka lives.
Well, and the thing is like Dave Filoni specifically said they really weren't planning on doing anything more at the Ahsoka panel at Celebration, but he said the reaction was so overwhelming. They're like, well, but you may see her again. So I feel like this has already been in production so long. I don't think that we're going to see Ahsoka in season 3 at all.
And just to add one more thing on Sabine's shoulder, I know this circulated around. You saw the convoy that was always around when Ahsoka was around. The little owl bird type thing from Mortis.
Indeed. Excellent. So, I guess we'll take a look. Actually, in fact, Bruce, would you include the images on this week's show notes? That'd be great, and that way people can take a look at them right at StarWarsReport.com for episode 234.
Yeah, I'd have to say that the two images between Ahsoka and the hologram that they're looking at are pretty much almost spot on.
Absolutely. Sweet. Yeah, we'll include the images on this week's episode. Definitely. All right, guys. So we have one more segment before we go, but we're going to do it after the credits because we got a few, shall we say, spoilers. So we're going to do that after the credits. Stick around after we give you guys all the links and everything that you need this week. But man, it's been an absolute blast. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We really do appreciate it. A couple things right off the top. Seriously, thanks to everyone who supported us over at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. Make sure you go check that out. And it's being worked on now and finalized now, and it's already mostly up. But check out StarWarsReport.com. We've got a new web design being operated on and launching here. So glad to actually have the ugly 2012 default WordPress theme out of there. We're still doing some tweaks and things to it, but check out StarWarsReport.com. We've got a brand new site up. Fire off an email, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. You can join Meredith and let us know what you think of the Ahsoka symbol. We'll include the pictures in this week's show notes. And, of course, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport, Twitter.com/StarWarsReport, and very important, make sure if you enjoy the show, you leave us an iTunes review. Just go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Super easy to be right there and make sure that you let the world know that you're listening and share the show with your Star Wars friends. That's always a great way. Spread the word. We don't have a marketing budget, folks, so the only way people hear about the show is if you're letting your friends know. So if you enjoy it, make sure you fire off an email and say, hey, here's the Star Wars Report podcast. It's pretty cool. At least we think so. So thanks for tuning in this week, guys. Let's get some of the other plugs out of the way. In fact, I want to make sure you guys are checking out the Aluminum Falcon podcast. Daniel, where can folks find it?
You can find the Aluminum Falcon podcast on iTunes, Podbean also. I also operate through @StayOnTarget on Twitter and at Channel Star Wars. And yeah, find us on iTunes. Pretty much the same thing Riley just said. You know, give us a like, comment. We basically break down the news and talk about some of the fan theories and stuff like that. And me and my co-host Mike have a lot of fun.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Check them out. We'll include links to that in the show notes. Bruce Gibson, you can be found @Admiral_Rex, correct?
That is correct. That's where you can find me.
Excellent. Do it. Do it. And of course, I am at the Riley Guy, R-I-L-E-Y, on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. Make sure you follow all those locations. We got more stuff coming soon. Make sure you go to facebook.com/Star Wars Report. Most specifically because there at the pinned to the top of the post is my Star Wars Celebration Europe vlog. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing? Go check it out. It's an absolute fantastic, if I do say so myself, fun reenactment, not reenactment, but relive. That's the word I'm looking for. Relive Star Wars Celebration Europe through the Riley experience. It was a lot of fun to put together. Again, facebook.com/Star Wars Report. Thanks for tuning in this week, guys. We'll be in touch. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned for the Princess Leia special bonus episode in the main feed, and all the patrons, stay tuned. We'll be putting out more Rebels commentary soon, and of course, Scott and my Celebration Europe conversation about the whole crazy press process. That was a lot of fun to talk about, because Scott's a radio guy. He knows a lot of this stuff. It's a lot of fun. So we'll catch you guys next week. Remember, may the Force be with you, and many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. That's all, folks. Whew. All right. Nicely done, gentlemen.
All awesome. Right.
Yeah, it felt good. Felt good.
Good. All right. Let me stop the recorder here. All right, guys. Time for some spoilers. But you know what that means we have to start off with? I think we have to start off with the Rogue One alarm. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is spoiler time for Rogue One and some Episode 8 stuff. We really only have two items to cover here that I want to touch on real quick. The first one is straight from Entertainment Weekly. Jimmy Smits confirms a Bail Organa episode. We're talking about Rogue One in trouble needing a bailout. Oh, get it? Get it? But I'll be here all night, ladies and gentlemen.
And we will not.
Jimmy Smits. In fact, there's video here. I'm going to see if the... that's a freaking 2.5 minute. Never mind. I'm not watching the whole clip there. But suffice to say, Jimmy Smits, of course, as well known for his role as Bail Organa in episodes 2 and 3 of Star Wars, was on CBS's The Talk, a show I've never heard of. And they presented him with a screenshot from the Rogue One sizzle reel that debuted, of course, at Celebration London. And they asked him if the man who resembled Smith... Wow, they did their research. They right there on the show, they were like, if he's the guy in that screenshot. And his first joke was, of course, people got nothing better to do, he joked. There's stuff going on in the world. All right, thanks. Don't make us feel guilty or anything. It's not like we're analyzing your response to the analysis on a Star Wars podcast. I see where you're coming from. He looked over and smiled briefly and said, "Can you say the word cameo? Can you say the words small part?" Well, Jimmy, you just did. So that's basically confirming he has a limited screen appearance in some way. Suffice to say,
it was a bit awkward because the screen behind him had the image from the Rogue One footage, and they're just like, he's just looking at and they're like, you can't say anything, can you? He's like, I mean, it was so obvious at that point.
Yeah,
and that's when he was like, yeah, can you say the word cameo?
Do you think he'll have a line or two?
I mean, you can't get Jimmy Smits and not give him at least a line, right?
Right. Yeah, I would think the same thing. Now, here's another question. Do you think he might have maybe his daughter by his side?
I don't
know. Maybe.
So.
Maybe. Maybe.
I just hope it ends
Billy
with him
Lord
saying,
will
well,
be
I'm
in.
Heading back to Alderaan. Yeah.
Because it's supposed to end like 10 minutes before A New Hope. It's like, yeah, I gotta go home, guys. Wife.
Yeah, we do have some more news that's Rogue One-ish. Some of it spoiler, some of it not. I want to bang through this real quick. U-Wing, what was your verdict, Daniel? You've seen the U-Wing, right?
Yeah, so when I saw it at first, just the picture of it, I automatically pictured an A-wing / snow speeder type.
Yep.
With like tusks and four
pod racer
X-wing
engines.
Ion engines on it. So it looked like it had those that X-wing style ion engines on the back, but it looked like they were attached to an A-wing or something. And
yep.
then those big long tusks. And I read about it, and I hear that it's a troop transport assault ship.
Yep,
that's like
the
that.
One.
Yeah.
In fact, that is the very thing. In fact, the first concept art that was shown at Celebration in Anaheim when they debuted that sort of moving poster teaser, they showed this concept art of troops being dropped off in a rainstorm. And that's the very ship. It's like only it was only partially revealed, but that's the very ship. I love it. I love the design.
Now that's the one that Space Monkey is on, right? He's the one. He's yep. on that ship shooting the gun.
I guess so. I assume so. I don't know for sure. It's referred to as a UT-60D, like the Canon 60D camera, right? All right, camera nerds. It's not a fighter. It's as much a transport for troops and a gunship for the Rebel Alliance. So yeah, gunship. I assume that must be the very same ship. But of course, it does have S foils, but instead of being an X, it is a U. And you can see it fully deployed. They have concept of it, like an early render. Where it does kind of take this, I forget. I'm going to actually go to the active duty Air Force, and I believe, and I'm going to show my ignorance because I'm terrible with airplanes, which is funny because of my career choice of going into the Air Force. But yeah, all right. So Google image search, gentlemen, B-1 Lancer. I was right. It's a strategic bomber that was developed in the 80s around the time of the Cold War. And you're going to see a very familiar wing structure to win. The U-Wing has deployed its S-foils. It's pretty cool. In fact, this moment is brought to you by Air Force and Star Wars nerd, Riley. and what's funny is the wings do adjust. So
yeah.
It has a variable, what they call a variable sweep wing, which is exactly the same design as the U-Wing. And so I'm sure it's probably fairly closely based. And it was originally... Like, the first flight of the early tests were in the 70s. So, like, this was height of the Cold War design. And it's so cool to see this kind of stuff. I always like the fact that, you know, Star Wars ship designs have always been based in, you know, reality and air-to-air combat of old war movies.
Right.
So the fact that they're further incorporating it and that I immediately recognized the shape of the wings once the S-foils are deployed, that's kind of cool. That's pretty sweet.
Sweet, yes.
And then, man, more stuff is coming out about the reshoots.
Enough!
Bruce, tell me about this. Like, is this much to do about nothing? The idea is that Gareth Edwards isn't supervising the reshoots and that they're actually bringing in one of the writers, Henry Gilroy, right? No, I'm
No, it's Tony Gilroy, Tony but Gilroy. Everybody just needs to settle down, chill out. Everything's good. We've got it all taken care of in this movie. It's not even a reshoot. It's just some final editing work. So
okay.
Tony Gilroy's coming out, helping with the final edits and post-production. I think everything's fine. But of course, you know, it's out there. People start to panic, you know, but this
Here's
is the typical way movies are made.
Here's the key. What you need to know is that Tony Gilroy has already worked closely with Gareth Edwards in the post-production of Godzilla. What that means is this is not the studio getting all ticked off at Gareth Edwards and saying, well, we're bringing in new creative people to fix the movie. This is, here's the post-production process. We do need some tonal changes. We need some scenes edited. Maybe we need a few things inserted here and there. We are, you know, doing a traditional... a post-production, you know, reshoot process to really polish up the film. And to do that, we are using much the same creative team. Because when
and
they
to
say...
to make it feel like Godzilla.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot like it.
Exactly. So that, I again, no cause for panic.
Yeah.
And speaking of Rogue One, let's hit through this TV spot. I'm not going to play it here, but I will say that I saw it. There's a new TV spot out. It's all the same footage. Well, mostly the same footage that we've already seen in the teaser trailer. I think there's one or two new shots, but nothing too groundbreaking. But I did see it because it's debuted in Cinemark theaters, and it's showing in front of Suicide Squad right now. I saw Suicide Squad Friday night on the Cinemark has their special, what they call XD screen. It's like the almost IMAX, basically, that a lot of these theaters are doing. And so it's a souped up sound and screen size. Suicide Squad, by the way, not as bad as people say. I mean, I actually had a good time. It was pretty good. But this is not the Suicide Squad podcast. I did see the 30-second TV spot, which is just kind of showing off and advertising Cinemark showing Rogue One in the same, you know, high def, high fidelity format. And it was really cool to see it. It looks great. Like seeing the same footage on the big screen in front of Suicide Squad, great. It's a new hope. It feels like a new hope. All right. Now we get into the real spoiler. This is the one where I actually don't know. I have not read the story, Bruce. So how bad? I'll let you make the decision for me. You be my editor. Kelly Marie Tran's character details revealed for episode 8. Do I want to read this?
It's not that big of a reveal.
That's all I needed to know.
No, she's just, let's see here. So according to I was raised to do one thing, whatever that is, she appears to be playing an information broker who auctions their knowledge off to the highest bidder. And at some point in the film, a scene was apparently shot of Tran with John Boyega, where she gives him a tip off on the first order.
Okay. That's nice.
So they meet in a bar, and it's fancier than previous films, they say, and she's wearing a dark green brown jacket with patches, and
okay,
so that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's
now,
not a
big one. I heard not to interrupt, but I heard a bit of a rumor about how we're going to see a lot more Phasma and Phasma's revenge against Finn. So do you think possibly she could, you know, information brokers work for the highest bidder, just like a mercenary or a bounty hunter. So what if she's setting Finn up for Phasma?
Now it's
could be.
Please, dear God, please. Because Phasma is the single biggest missed opportunity in the entire film, The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I have to say. It's just like that. That was something that there are very little in The Force Awakens of the nitpicks or anything are things that I was like actively thinking about while I watched it the first time. Like that's when you're noticing errors in a movie while you watch it, that's usually the indication that it's got real problems. And there was literally nothing like that in The Force. There's a lot of stuff like thinking about it after I saw like, oh, that didn't quite make sense, or just, you know, some small the nitpicks that we've talked about here on the show plenty of times. The one I noticed the first time I watched it was I was like, wait, what? When Phasma just gave up the security codes and did nothing about it. I was expecting like a big fight right there. That was the time for Finn to come into his own and start, you know, having to fend off Phasma.
I'm in charge now, Phasma. I'm in charge.
Yeah, exactly. But instead, that was not the case at all. So I do hope maybe that was her Boba Fett moment. Maybe we have to wait to see her in action fully.
I mean, she did get tackled by Chewbacca, you know, so maybe she was her bell got rung a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Wearing that Nubian armor.
True.
And the threat of a trash compactor may have really scared her.
Does place have trash compactors? Yeah, it does.
That was a great moment. That cracked me up. All right, guys, that puts the wraps on this episode. Thanks for you guys who stuck through the spoiler segment. Appreciate it. And I imagine like the closer we get, we will be doing more spoilers. But again, I'm not going to be doing major ones. Like that's just where I am for Rogue One or Episode 8.
I've been trying to stay away from it as well.
I'll catch some of the smaller ones more organically. But everybody is so good. Like, and maybe I'm not as engaged as I might be sometimes, but honestly, people are so good about tagging spoilers. As long as you're just a little careful, you'll avoid the major spoilers. And I did not think that would be possible for someone like me who follows Star Wars news so closely. in the Star Wars. Now, what you don't want to do is, like, I use Flipboard and some other things to follow, like, mainstream blogs, blogging about Star Wars. Don't do that or you will get spoilers. But, like, as far as the Star Wars blogosphere goes, I don't care whether it's TFN or Making Star Wars or Jedi News or some of the other, or Club Jade. They're all so good about letting you know that don't read this if you want to be spoiler free. So that's always nice.
See, now I know why you want me as a producer, so I can see all the spoilers and filter them out.
Bruce is the firewall.
You don't have to read them.
This is so true, actually. Oh, man. Guys, seriously, thanks so much for sticking through. And if you stuck through to the end here, seriously, appreciate it. And again, we'll see you guys next week. Stay tuned for... I'm super excited for the Princess Leia podcast. So that's going to be fun. So we'll see you guys next week. Boom.